Hi, and welcome to this podcast from SearchManufacturingERP.com. I'm David Essex, the editor of the site. Cloud computing provides manufacturers with access to shared computing services over the Internet, potentially reducing IT infrastructure and labor costs. But with the emergence of variations like private clouds and new software-as-a-service applications arriving every day, choosing the right technology can be challenging. In this podcast, Liz Herbert, Principal Analyst at Forrester Research, explains the options and how to fit them into your ERP and supply chain strategy. Herbert was a researcher at MIT Media Lab and programmed simulations for the U.S. Department of Transportation before joining Forrester in 2002. She specializes in SaaS ERP and other cloud computing technologies. Liz, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having Forrester a part of today's podcast.
Where do you think the biggest opportunities are right now for manufacturers to run ERP and supply chain applications in the cloud?
It's a great question, and it's one that we're fielding frequently with our client base here at Forrester. There are numerous categories within ERP and supply chain that we're seeing just start to move into cloud and software as a service. Of course, things like warehouse management, planning and scheduling, supply chain intelligence, demand forecasting. Many of those are still in the early stages for software as a service and cloud. There are, however, other areas that are pretty far along and are really going to be the earliest categories that we're seeing move to software as a service across supply chain and ERP. For example, transportation management, supply chain event management, global trade management within supply chain. Those are some of the earliest adopter categories. And then on the ERP side, or more of the financial management side, we're seeing some areas, for example, expense reporting. That's heavily moving to software as a service. Time and attendance, e-learning, some of these components of the broader ERP suite. Specifically, a lot of those HR components are moving to software as a service already and will continue to move aggressively in that direction.
It seems like software as a service, or SaaS as they call it, and public and private clouds are the choices that most of the companies are focused on right now. But there are other important cloud technologies such as infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. When might a manufacturer choose either one of those?
It's a great question. So it's true. Our adoption data here at Forrester shows that software as a service has penetrated enterprises the greatest, about 23% in large enterprises using software as a service. The numbers that we have for infrastructure as a service are less than half that. Approximately 10% of enterprises have told Forrester they're using infrastructure as a service. And a slightly smaller population, approximately 7%, say that they're using platform as a service. The wheres and the whys have a lot to do with what are the business problems they're solving and also what are the overall applications that they're looking at. So, for example, with infrastructure as a service, oftentimes we see that companies have existing applications either that they've built themselves or that are on-premise and on-premise only, such as much of SAP and much of Oracle. So that could be a good fit for looking at infrastructure as a service.
The private clouds have been getting a lot of the interest because they seem to be sort of a middle ground for companies that are really worried about security and reliability of applications in the public cloud. What kind of feedback have you been hearing from companies that have actually tried to implement private clouds?
It's early days for many of our clients. We are tracking great interest as far as moving to private clouds. And to your point, those are often the drivers for them, is they're looking to get some of the economies of scale, some of the cost benefits and flexibilities of cloud, but they don't want to give up that control. They don't want to take the security risks or broader control risks that often go along with public cloud. So we also recently tracked some data in this space, and what we found is that 19% of IT executives and technology decision makers said that building an internal private cloud operated by IT would be a high priority for them in the year ahead. Additionally, on top of the 19% who said it would be a high priority, another 5% said it would be a critical priority. So in total, approximately 24% of firms are saying that this is a key initiative for them in the year ahead. As far as real stories, you know, a lot of companies, they're still in the planning stages. Many of the companies we're working with, they're really just planning, getting ready to figure out what applications they would then move to the private cloud, figuring out what vendors might be able to help them build those private clouds. So the results and the ROI of doing the private clouds are still in the early stages.
We've been hearing from some places that private clouds are really just a halfway measure because it will soon be very common to run enterprise applications on public clouds. Do you agree with this, and how are the public cloud standards and offerings evolving to even make this possible?
Absolutely. To your point, Dave, a lot of companies are investing in private clouds because they're not ready to give up control. In many cases, their comfort level with public cloud starts to grow as they see more and more examples of public cloud being successful. So, for example, if we think back to 5 or 6 years ago when Salesforce.com was gaining popularity and how a company like Salesforce.com was starting to showcase government success stories and financial services success stories and also large enterprises around the world using their technology, what that really did for the whole industry is it gave people a level of confidence. And we're going to see more and more of that across more categories, not only business applications, collaboration technologies for email, but also many of the IT categories, areas like storage and so forth. So that's one dimension that will change is buyers' comfort level will change. Separately, we are also seeing real changes. To your point, standards, security, those are areas where there are standards bodies, such as the Cloud Security Alliance, as well as technologies that are coming into the mix that can really help give not only give buyers confidence in those areas, but truly assess the degree of security or the degree of performance, let's say, of some of the applications that they might ultimately partner with. And we've seen not only some of those standards start to come out, but we've also seen technologies, things like HP Cloud Assure or McAfee Cloud Secure, for example, that companies can use to start to gauge the level of security and performance of their SaaS vendors. So that also will help them with their confidence or their trust. And then a final dimension will be technology itself. There are still some categories where, because of limitations around customization and integration or even bandwidth considerations, it's really inhibiting the adoption of cloud. And over time, as technology improves, we'll start to see those barriers go down as well.
One of the downsides of SaaS has been a perceived lack of customizability in a sense that you're giving up a lot of the control over the application. Are SaaS vendors responding to those concerns and coming up with new options that can give manufacturers applications that are more suited to their particular needs?
Absolutely. So historically, when we would survey buyers about why they weren't moving to SaaS, what their concerns were, the top concerns we would hear about were customization and integration. Today, those concerns are still there, but they've gone significantly far down the list of concerns. In fact, today the top concerns we hear about are security and total cost of ownership. And there are lots of reasons for that, and the primary reason being that the technologies have improved. Most leading SaaS solutions today in 2011 are built on a platform as a service technology that is allowing companies to extend and customize the application. And we're seeing that even beyond the proprietary tools that many of those SaaS applications provide, many of them are also working on ways that companies could code in, common programming languages. I'll use Salesforce.com as an example again because they're such a giant in the space, but they've recently acquired a company which gives them the capability to allow clients to program in Ruby on Rails. They also have a partnership where companies can code in Java through VMforce. So these are some trends that we're seeing broadly across the software as a service industry. Of course, it varies by application. So one piece of advice we always give our buyers at Forrester is do their homework, due diligence, look at what the customization capabilities are of these applications, and also if there are customization capabilities, what's involved in it? Does it require the vendor's professional services and therefore costs, or are there some everyday common programming languages that can be used in conjunction with the tools?
Do you have any other recommendations for manufacturers who are thinking of increasing the use of SaaS and other cloud applications in their ERP and supply chain strategies? What should they be looking for in cloud vendors and technologies?
For most of our clients, when they're faced with this decision, the first area they're looking for is a degree of maturity. So they want to understand, even though software as a service in theory might offer a lot of benefits, it has become more common and more successful in certain domains. So I gave some examples like expense reporting or HR components versus core accounting, budgeting, and forecasting tend to be lagging. So planning out where it might be a fit is one of the key tasks that we see companies doing, and then mapping that against some of the areas where they might be making investments and seeing where it could be a fit. Beyond that, we also see a lot of focus around who are these vendors. Of course, software as a service models have really lowered the barrier to entry. So while we see many great solutions that can offer benefits, sometimes they are coming from smaller companies that lend a higher amount of risk into the purchase. and that risk could be failure. We've seen some examples where these companies don't survive. In fact, I was with a client last week where three of its SaaS vendors over its lifetime have gone out of business, and they're heavy users of SaaS. Another example would be acquisition. Of course, we're seeing significant amounts of acquisition with some of the smaller software as a service providers, either consolidation amongst themselves or acquisitions by some of the major software companies like Microsoft, IBM, SAP, and Oracle. So those kinds of risks are areas where companies should first of all think about the due diligence up front in the selection phase, but second, protect themselves contractually. Areas like exit clauses are very popular with our clients, as well as exit strategy. So beyond just the ability to get out of the contract, how would they get their data back? What would the transition look like? And in some cases, even things like software as a service escrow is something that we're seeing companies think about.
Well, Liz, thanks for your time today.
Dave, thanks for having Forrester.